Welcome to another episode of Digitally Speaking. This is your host, Ali Sikandar. The reason why I chose this soundtrack is merely because it has this sense of inspiration, which I think you're going to observe while listening to the entire episode. Michael and I, we go a long time back, and I was probably the happiest person when I first heard that Michael has finally started what he truly believed in, which is a fintech startup called C-Wallet. I honestly did not know enough about C-Wallet until I had this interview with him, and I'm sure this is going to sound music to everyone's ears. So here you go. Michael, how are you?
Hi, Ali. Thank you for having me. I'm good. I hope it's likewise from your side.
That's great. Good to hear that. Michael, so I've been following C-Wallet for a couple of months now, and I've been obviously following you over LinkedIn for the past couple of years. Tell us more about what this whole like C-Wallet, the yellow brand, is all about, because you are making some buzz in town right now.
Yeah, so I'm doing it in purpose. I probably know, you've noticed. I'm just making sure that the yellow brand is dominant in everywhere I go, even for sessions with Qatar Financial Center or in DIC or any other fintech activities, because I think it's nice to have such a vibrant color that represents money, because it's the same color as Western Union, for example.
That's part of the brand recognition. You're following the similar footsteps of Steve Jobs. Like whenever he used to represent Apple, he used to wear a black turtleneck. And whenever you're representing C-Wallet, you're wearing a yellow polo shirt. Right?
Yes. I'm doing it on purpose because compared to Steve Jobs, you know, their brand was, but because when he was starting his business, the brand was not popular. So I'm trying to make it recognizable in this early stage. Once you become a brand like Nike and you just see the swoosh and you know the brand. But, you know, like any other entrepreneur, so you have to give your and pay your due diligence in order to get recognized. So I know it's all about the hype, but, you know, now it's about walk the talk and back up what you're trying to achieve.
Michael, if you can just walk our listeners through, you know, the background of how you started C-Wallet, what inspired you, and what it actually basically entails. What is C-Wallet? So, Mike is all yours.
So, the basic principles that evolve around C-Wallet is payroll, payment, and remittance, allowing users to pay online or on-site, either locally or internationally. You know, that's the basic principles about it. And it all started in my HEC Paris days. So, it was actually my thesis of mine, in HEC, and it's not that I didn't like the grade that the jury gave me, but it's the final question that I couldn't answer. You know, the question.
What was that question?
So what? That's it.
That was the question. Yeah, so what?
Because the situation was like, okay, is there an opportunity for an alternative remittance solution, specifically mobile application for Filipino domestic helpers? So, you know, all the data was there. It showed, yes, there is a need, there is an importance. Everyone will be on using their smartphones, because it was 2017 during that time. And the survey was like, if you don't have a smartphone, are you planning to buy one? And then, you know, like everyone said yes. So basically that's the horizon. And every household has internet. And in Alhamdulillah, in Qatar, even parks, you know, you can actually access internet connections. So, yeah.
Okay, so coming back to your story about C-Wallet, HEC Paris, they asked you, so what? And is that what encouraged you to start your
own thing? Yes, that was the start. And so I went to Idea Camp and Digital Incubation Center, which is under Ministry of Transport and Communications, during 2018 to do my startup journey. And they, in fact, enlightened me that, okay, there is a business out of it, but your market segment is small. You know, at the end of the day, if you want to do good, you need to do well. So we included low-income and unbanked migrant workers, the domestic helpers, and blue-collar workforce, and at the same time, empowering homemade businesses, micro SMEs, and fellow startups. You know, everyone that doesn't have a bank account is already a customer of C-Wallet. So upon getting the incubation, I actually pitched hours before our graduation in HEC. So, you know, it was like hectic. My family is in the parking waiting for my, I end my presentation, went all the way to the graduation, and it was National Day during that period, and went head to Darbalsai because we have a setup. You know, so my family was in the parking when I was pitching after the graduation, and I finished like 1 a.m. during my work. So it was like hectic, but you know, yeah, it was a long day. And then I actually realized, like, okay, so now it's right. Time to be an entrepreneur at the age of 40.
Michael, so while you were talking, I was just glimpsing through your SEOs, and I have to say, you guys have done a pretty good job in putting, like, if you put C-Wallet on Google, it is, and if you go to images and if you go to all results, it just talks about you. Like, it talks about the actual product and everything. So good job on the whole search engine optimization of your brand.
Thank you very much. I think it credits to my previous employer when I was the head of operations of Atelier 101. I was leading the development team, you know, the UI, UX developers, the sales, and this is what we do for a living, actually. I think that's also a plus on starting right. An entrepreneur while you took your journey, you know, 10 years on the development space. You have your computer science background. That's why when I took HEC, you know, finance and accounting courses petrified me when taking this course. But then I realized those are the courses that I actually took an A or you know, high grades, because the fear motivated me to study harder and work harder. And then I think that's where the business acumen put into place. So when I presented it to my six Qatari partners, I was only looking for one partner, but all six of them joined the party because I think they see the potential in the, maybe with me, with modesty aside, and the product itself. So that's how it all started. And with the SEO topic, you know, because I was the CEO, I was the chief marketing officer, I'm the CTO, you know, so you have to put all your shoes in the beginning in order to build the product. I don't want to say it, but you know, most of the startups, they always say fake it until you make it. You know, we're not faking it, it's real, but maybe you can say exaggerate it until you make it. It's better than faking it.
Michael, do you know what's really cool about, you know, you and the startup? It's because this has always been your passion as well as your profession. I'm going to talk about the logo a bit later. I mean, I think I'm going to show the logo. I don't know how I'm going to show the logo in a podcast, but whoever is listening, please do go and check out C-Wallet and you'll see the logo. So tell us more about the logo, the thought process behind the logo.
Okay, so I think if the listeners are here and keen, if they close their eyes and they see a capital letter C, and a W that represents the stock fluctuation, then they will see our logo. So the visionary there was C-Wallet. Actually, C stands for crypto. You know, during the hype of crypto 2018-2019. But when the Qatar Central Bank immediately blocked Bitcoin, so I realized, like, no, you need to adapt with change. So we changed it from crypto to companion or just C. So that's why it's C-Wallet. And it surprisingly came out to be an interesting brand name for people that are into the fintech space or looking for e-wallets. You know, why C-Wallet? So it's intriguing at the same time.
Michael, I think you're touching a very important point, because a lot of people who are getting into the startup business, branding definitely is the bread and butter. I think branding is the DNA of any startup. It's not about how much you're spending. It's about how smartly you're spending on your own brand or your own startup. What do you think? Isn't it like that?
Yes, I believe that perfection kills creativity. You know, I've been in Doha for quite some time. So every time you submit a design and you show it to a person, and the person is unsure, she will show it to another person. And then, you know, it will take ages for them to decide, because there's so many smart and creative people involved. So it's killing the creativity, because they're trying to make it the best perfect out of it. And then as you run your startup, you realize like, no, this is just the start. So get ready to keep changing because it will keep changing.
Michael, if I talk about the user experience or the actual service of C-Wallet, and I want to put scenarios, give me three different main users or two different main users of C-Wallet. Like, first of all, is C-Wallet now available? Like, can be downloaded?
C-Wallet is actually live both in iOS and Android. So we have the user app and then we have the merchant app, which we call partners. Even our website is available in 9 different languages. You know, we tried to, it's gruesome, but we tried to accomplish this. And we're one of the few in Doha that actually extended efforts in communicating to this expat-oriented region. You know, we wanted, because we're promoting financial inclusion, and the only way to promote inclusivity is no one is left behind, either in communication or using the app. You know, either you don't speak the language, but you know how to use the internet because you're using Facebook, Skype, then you can use the app. That's the concept about it. So after being 9 different languages, we wanted the app to have those languages as well, but it will be costly. So we try to simplify those things on icon base that people would recognize. You know, it's like giving to a child. When you give a child the iPad, they know how to turn it off, turn it on, look where is the icon, etc. And they don't even know how to read. So we're trying to put ourselves on that moment while developing the app, but considering security and the KYC, know your customer, importance, because it's a financial institution type of product, not like the typical app that you download and you can even use it without knowing the person. So that's, I think, the only difficult part will be the registration, like, because the user can download and register by themselves and they can start using it and topping up and purchase to affiliated partners. For now, only affiliated partners. Now, on the other hand, for the merchant, so they can download also, they can complete their profile, but they will have a moment where we need to verify them that they are actually a legitimate company, they have their computer card registered, it's not expired, and so that they can start accepting payments. You know, so these are the means that we have to do in order to protect the users at the end of the day, the consumers.
Where do you see C-Wallet going in the next 5 years or 10 years? First of all, what I would love to hear is the entire startup scene in Qatar, how much this has evolved. And secondly, where do you see C-Wallet and other fintech platforms or fintech solutions coming into the horizon in the next couple of years?
I believe there's a drastic change that is coming, especially when Qatar announces that they would like to have a cashless World Cup and a cashless society all the way to 2030.
Wow.
You know, so with Qatar FinTech Hub and Qatar Central Bank, Qatar Financial Center, and Qatar Development Bank, and all of these entities working together, they're even inviting FinTech players globally to come and start in Qatar, you know, and they will provide funding, they will provide consulting, etc. So it's a nice environment to become a fintech player now. And we are very privileged and honored to be part of Qatar Financial Center because we established C-Wallet International. Now we can scale up and provide C-Wallet outside Qatar's jurisdiction.
I think it's only a matter of time that people will start to know the importance of fintech solutions that are out there in the market. I would like to wish you all the best, and I would really love to see C-Wallet rubbing shoulders with the like of Alibaba and Apple Pay at some point, inshallah.
Hopefully, yes, inshallah. Or maybe WhatsApp can buy us in the future as well.
Right. So before we end up our conversation, is there any message that you would like to convey? Any suggestions for people who have great ideas, not only about fintech, but about their own startups, but they don't know the process? Would you like to say something to them? Encourage them, perhaps?
Yes, I think I should, because like any other expats, it's very difficult to quit your job, especially if you're already comfortable with the job. It's nice to become an entrepreneur before the pressure, because your mind is even clearer. And if you have an idea, feel free to tell it to everyone. I've noticed this during my time, that I'm not telling this person, or I'm not even sharing in the incubation center my idea, so I'm keeping it secret. And then I realized we have the same idea. So, you know, if you share your idea more, you will learn more that you need to change this, you need to change that. People will actually give you advice. That's what I love with, I think, with co-founders. Qatar, like Omar of E-Butler, I like every time he talks to me, he gives me all this idea. Haitham of Mudaris. You know, so it's nice to talk to fellow startups because they already had the experience and they will tell you the journey. They will even give you bright ideas. And right. Even the new ones, you know, don't be afraid to share your idea. Idea is an idea. You know, anyone can have a nice idea. But if you don't have the passion for it, you don't have the guts to jump and risk, you'll never soar, you know. You'll never fly if you don't jump. You will just stay there, standing. So it's pure risk, I agree. But I think I have to commend that my friends, family, especially my wife, was supporting me when I quit my job. And in fact, when we were doing bootstrapping, she was helping me pull those funds. So it's always nice to have your family. You know, like in the startup world, there are the three Fs that gives money to startups. So that are friends, families, and fools. So fools are the investors. But, you know, most of the time it fails, actually. So 80, 95% or even more startups, especially in Qatar, fails. But when you fail, it's not a failure. It's a learning. So you do another one. Because on our side, maybe people didn't see that we spent a lot of money already on the first MVP. You know, we spent about $40,000 and it was not what we're looking for. But then it paid way to a grant that allowed us to build a better solution, to meet better developer. And until this day, we're still learning from the customer.
Yeah. No, I love this, Michael. And you've really made some extremely, extremely good points and words of encouragement to the young entrepreneurs who are out there who have these ideas that they really want to pursue. But I think sometimes people lack motivation. I think people are more exposed to failures than they are to successes. And I think it's a stories that people like you, you know, they encourage. It's your story which is going to be encouraging for this young entrepreneur or this young listener of this podcast, of someone who's reading your article, to be inspired to start up their own thing. Because you said it right. If you want to fly, you need to jump. You can't keep on crawling and except flying. I think that was so true. All right. So, Michael, we've come to the end of our podcast. It was lovely speaking to you. And I wish you all the best in your future gigs with future projects with CWallet and above and beyond, as they say. Thank you very much for your time, Michael. You have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you, Ali. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I hope the episode was pretty inspiring for everyone, because it's not easy to come up with something that never existed before in the market. Stay tuned for the next episode, where we will be talking about automatic generation of personas on the internet using artificial intelligence.